And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Well, good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is lovely to be back for 2022. Here we are. The old team has returned. I'm Jo Stanley. Joining me is Gerald Quigley, as always. Good morning, Gerald.
Morning, Jo. Happy New Year.
And to you too, and lovely Luke Hines. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Top of the morning, and top of the morning to all of our awesome listeners out there. Happy New Year.
Yes. Did you both have lovely breaks? What was the thing that made you most healthy over the break?
Go for it, Hanji.
All right, putting my phone down.
Remember, Hanji, we've only got...
Oh, I love it, putting the phone down.
We live in such a connected time these days, and I think because our phones equal work, when we're not working as often, we're not on our phones as often. So that was a huge change for me, and I was like, hey, less phone, more puppy cuddles. Oh, loving that.
That's good.
There you go.
Yes.
We connected, reconnected much more closely with our family because really I think one thing we've learned over the last couple of years is you've got to keep family close. Mm. And we've done that. And just learn to re-relax, which is good.
Very nice. I got off the couch a little more, which was very, very nice.
So go to the fridge?
More consistent. Oh. How rude.
Excuse me, GQ. It's the first day of the year.
I will acknowledge that the 5 p.m. cheese platter has become quite a routine for us.
I was referring to that.
Calcium, Joe, good for your bones. Yes.
That's
you can't
exactly
go wrong.
Right.
She's improving her French, aren't you, with Daff and Noir.
Oh, my goodness. I'm loving the Daff. But, no, I have been trying to be more consistent with moving my body, and I hope to take that further into this year beyond January.
Oh, yeah, no, that's good. I've had a lot of people reach out, Jo, and actually say, oh, how do I kind of dust those cobwebs off and how do I get to move more? So I know we're going to take a bunch of calls today, but if you're listening right now, we'd also love to hear from you if you are struggling to get moving. We're here for that advice as well.
You're so fantastic with that, Hinesy. So, yes, it's great to have you here, and 131-873 is our number if you have any questions for Hindsy to do with fitness or food, or Gerald, of course, with all of his amazing knowledge as well, whatever your health concerns are. 131-873 is the number. It is a time when we kind of reset, I guess, and we're thinking about healthy eating, exercise, better lifestyle choices. And you know, Hindsy, I'm not so skillful in the kitchen. I don't have a great deal of food knowledge, but I like to keep it really simple because I think when it's simple, you can be consistent. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I loved a story that I read recently about the 4 plant-based foods to eat every week because I thought 4 foods I can get.
We can do four.
So we're going to be talking with the author of that article, Laureate Professor in Nutrition and Dietetics from the University of Newcastle, Professor Claire Collins, who is going to tell us what those 4 plant foods are to have on your weekly grocery list. And what I love is that there's research and science behind it.
Yeah.
Are they going to be fancy, like kale and quinoa and couscous and all of those?
I have a gut feeling, GQ, that they're not, because if there's anything I've learnt over the years is that sometimes those buzzwords come and go, but what's the best for us is often most the simplest
there you go.
That
the
we can get every day.
And we'll bring some recipes for you as well to help you with those 4 very basic but beautiful foods to have on your grocery list. Also joining us, epidemiologist Professor Catherine Bennett, who's going to tell us how can we live as normal a life as possible as we go into the third year dealing with COVID.
Excuse me.
The A to Z of vitamins is Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligrams. We do love Ubiquinol here. And as I said, 131-873 is our number. Give us a call when you have any questions for your health. Next up, those 4 plant-based foods you should always have on your grocery list.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What's clean, vegan and packed full of skin-loving ingredients? It's new Rimmel London Kind and Free Moisturising Skin Tint. It's free from nasties, formulated with aloe vera and antioxidant complex of vitamin E and B5, delivering 24-hour hydration. The lightweight formula evens skin tone and blurs imperfections and is suitable for sensitive skin. It's clean beauty that works, no compromises. Rimmel London Kind and Free Moisturising Skin Tint is $9.97 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. As we always say, we'd love you to give us a call, 131 873 with any questions for your health. But first, of course, the new year is a time when we like to reset our body and our mindset and really maybe address some of our habits, perhaps you could say.
Yeah, I like the way you put that.
And that often includes what we're eating. So to help us get our diet in order, we're really thrilled to welcome to the show Professor Claire Collins. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Claire, your expertise is nutrition and dietetics, and I loved your story that told us the four plant-based foods that we should always have on our grocery list, because to me, I can manage four in a week. Can you tell us what are those four foods we need to have on our list every week?
Yeah, it's pretty easy and you find them all in the supermarket. So tomatoes, pumpkin, rolled oats and mushrooms. And while the list could be even longer, they're four easy ones that are super common, taste yummy and really, really versatile and packed with lots of nutrients.
I love it, Claire. They're really simple. They're most ingredients that people can access. Can I ask particularly, though, why are these foods on your weekly grocery list and why is it so important that we have them weekly?
Well, I mean, they're all things that grow. And there was this recent study done that followed 500,000 people for up to 25 years. So they pooled all the studies who'd followed people who eat plant-based foods. But what was interesting is that the people who ate the most, and it included those foods on my list, they were much less likely to die from any cause, and they were also much less likely to get heart disease. And the healthiest of these plant-based patterns were ones that aim to reduce meat and really boost plants. So whether you were called a flexitarian or a pesco vegetarian, it included the four foods on my list. And when I started looking a bit more closely, like at tomatoes, for example, the science behind why they keep you healthy is absolutely fascinating. And I thought, well, these are the four that you really ought to get in your shopping trolley every week. And, you know, first on my list was tomatoes. And what I love about tomatoes is there's so many ways that you can enjoy them. And whether you are buying the cherry tomato varieties or, you know, the ones that are on special and need to be thrown in the oven and roasted straight away because they might not be looking so good by tomorrow, or whether you buy tomato paste or canned tomatoes, you can actually get the benefits from the high amount of lycopene, which is the nutrient that seems to be the super active conferring all the health benefits. And, you know, whether it's for your heart or your blood pressure or your prostate, they're just absolutely pack a punch when it comes to improving your health.
Claire, Australians are besotted with cholesterol levels, and there's a real industry in that. And you say in your research that there have been 58 studies where 3.5 gram of beta-glucan oats rebalances your cholesterol levels. Now, how simple is that when you consider that probably half the population is taking a statin to artificially reduce their cholesterol levels, when simply adding that fibre to your daily breakfast makes such an enormous difference? How do we get that message out? I can't see that being front page news because it's too simple.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you and me are on the same page. You know, if I had my way when you were born, you'd be assigned your own personal dietitian who could give you all of this life coaching along the way. But I think that's true, that the message is lost about the benefits of foods for lowering your cholesterol. Now, this beta-glucan that's in rolled oats, and incidentally, there is beta-glucan in the mushrooms as well. Mm-hmm. It acts like a giant sponge, pulling out some of the products that high cholesterol is made from and helps lower that. And some of the other fibres that can have that same effect are in all kinds of beans. So good old baked beans, kidney beans. But I think the way we get the message out is to keep on talking about it.
Sure.
Now, when it comes to cholesterol, even if you're on a statin, diet is still important because for some people, their genetics means that they're very at risk for high cholesterol and heart disease, and you can usually find that out by checking out what your relatives in generations gone by have passed away from. But the diet helps as well. And while while the statin is trying to pull out the cholesterol, some of these foods have other amazing properties in terms of being able to take out or neutralise some of the nasty products. And the perfect example of that is the mushrooms.
Yes.
So mushrooms contain this amino acid, which you've probably never heard of. It's called ergothionine. And it's spotlighted in research at the moment because ergothionine is a super powerful antioxidant. So the way to think of what it does in your body is, like, let's say there's a footy match and there's a really key player in the opposition and you're going to target your biggest front row forward to that other player. Well, that's ergothionine. Can seek out the source of the problem and basically neutralize it. And so that's why when you look at the studies, the biggest mushroom eaters have a 34% chance lower of dying from cancer.
Wow.
And that includes breast cancer. But what I found most interesting about this study on mushrooms is that the high mushroom eaters, it was equivalent to eating one button mushroom a day. So if you think about, oh, yeah, well, I could buy mushrooms every week, it just means you've got to have a big feed of mushrooms once a week in order to get these benefits. Wow. And the other reason why I included mushrooms, honestly, on the list is because it's pretty sentimental and because both me and my father love mushrooms. And my dad used to tell the story of, you know, as a kid, you know, during the Depression, they'd be sent out with a cart drawn by the family billy goat and not allowed back until the bucket was filled up with mushrooms. So I think mushrooms are super versatile. You know, for people who are vegetarian, they've got that earthy, meaty taste, great source of vitamin B12 that's normally only found in meat products. And they're a great source of vitamin D, and you can boost the vitamin D even in mushrooms if you're a person who doesn't go outside too much, because you put the mushrooms out in the sun, you turn them upside down, you sunbake them, and you can triple the vitamin D content of mushrooms. So,
oh, that's so cool. You know,
yeah, Claire, so, what I love about this too is that the more plants we get into people's lives, the more fibre they're eating, and we know how important fibre is for gut health. So this whole picture goes full circle because we're adding the nutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, the fibre. It's benefiting our health in so many different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're getting the variety of them as well. And if we talk about the ones that are high in beta-carotene, so I picked pumpkin because, again, like I grew up in Queensland, you know, where we had the row of Queensland pumpkins that were, you know, blossoming out of the compost heap, stacked up under the house, you know, to last for months.
Yeah.
But pumpkin is just so versatile. So you think, oh, well, how could you possibly eat pumpkin at breakfast time? Well, if you cube it and just brown it in your pan, it's a great addition to an omelette or a side dish if poached eggs is your thing. And if you go, there's no way I'm ever going to eat pumpkin, it's disgusting. Well, carrots are high in beta-carotene as well. And even all of your leafy greens, they contain beta-carotene. You just can't see that beautiful yellowy-orange in colour because it's masked by the chlorophyll that's in the green leafy ones. But again, it's super, 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 super versatile. As well.
I just love this. It's so simple and it's actually making my mouth water.
I'm so
Thank
hungry,
you
Joe.
So much.
I'm so hungry,
Professor
Joe.
Claire Collins. So simple. So it's mushrooms, tomatoes, pumpkin and rolled oats. How easy is that? Well, thank you so much, Claire. We're so appreciative of your advice there.
Absolutely pleasure. And if you want recipe ideas, just Google No Money, No Time, and I've got more recipes at that site. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. That was Professor Claire Collins there. And I know, Heinze, there are lots of recipes that you have provided as well for those exact ingredients.
Yeah, so look, on the House of Wellness website, we've got the Eat tab, and I've picked four of my favourites. For oats, I've got the Luke Heinze's famous granola clusters, and they're really good. So you make the granola in bulk, they celebrate oats, and you can have it on hand ready for running out the door. Now, we're hearing from Claire the importance of mushrooms. We've got my zesty lemon and pecan stuffed mushrooms, really simple and easy to make. My summer salmon skewers with fresh tomato salsa to get your tomatoes in there, and you can't go wrong with pumpkin nachos with pumpkin as your chip.
Oh, I was looking at that recipe from exactly used from your snack, healthy snack. Yes, I'm all over those. Delicious. Thank you so much for those recommendations there, Heinze, as well. Coming up, we'll be joined by epidemiologist Professor Catherine Bennett to learn how we can live as normal a life as possible as we enter the third year of the pandemic. And if you have questions for Catherine with regards to COVID at all, please give us a call 131 873. That'll be next on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to The House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley, and with me is Gerald Quigley and Luke Hines, and we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. 131-873 is our number. Do give us a call if you have questions for your health, and particularly if you have questions with regard to COVID. As we enter our third year dealing with COVID, it has become a normal factor of life. And I think that most of us have either had COVID or know someone who has had COVID. And so we ask the question, how can we live as normal a life as possible while moderating the risk of people ending up in hospital and in numbers that strain the system? I mean, it's a fairly complicated thing to sort of get our heads around. So joining us on the line to help us break down the facts is epidemiologist Professor Catherine Bennett. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so lovely to have you on the show. And I suppose the first question I would say, should people be worried with the continued rise of cases? Because we see such huge numbers reported every day.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost impossible to get your head around now, aren't they, compared to where we've been in recent times. You know, it's about getting the balance right. It's about knowing there's risk out there, and we are seeing obviously more cases. As you say, I hear lots of people now saying, you know, I never knew anyone who had COVID before. Or you might hear of one person sort of in the loop, but in fact, everybody now knows someone in their immediate circle. So people are more aware of it. It should make us more cautious, because you can actually, even if you are more likely to be exposed to the virus, still help prevent yourself from actually having an infection from that exposure. So it's getting the balance right between just stepping up our control a bit without being so anxious that, you know, we're trying to imagine the worst all the time. It's being prepared, but actually finding ways to keep mixing, keep doing the things people want to do over their summer, but do it in just a bit safer way to help try and stop those higher rates of exposure turning into something that might, you know, have you feeling quite unwell for a few days.
Catherine, it's Luke here. I'd just love to know, how can we moderate the risk of people ending up in hospital in those large numbers that really strain the system?
Well, that's the concern. There's two things, actually, about hospitals. One is, even though you're less likely to go to hospital, it sounds, they're saying about 70% less likely. Clearly, that still means some people are going to hospital, and we've got a lot more cases. So, as you say, that still means, number-wise, smaller proportion of cases end up in hospital, but a large number. But the other challenge for our hospitals is that anyone with an infection, even if they don't know they have an infection, if they need to go to hospital for any reason, then presents an infection control challenge to the hospital, because you might go in there with a broken arm, you have to be admitted straight away, but you've got COVID at the same time, and so they've got to manage the infection risk in the hospital. And then you've got the staff themselves who, you know, unfortunately, also have the virus, some from the community, some from their own socialising, but others are getting it from work as well. So it's that terrible storm of all those things coming together. And that's why, you know, I think everyone's watching very closely for this peak to happen, because not only will that reduce the number of people getting infections that might end up in hospital, it also reduces that other effect, which is just high population incidence means both other patients and other staff are also challenged. So actually getting through this peak period, which will be at different times in different parts of the country, but it looks like it's starting to turn even in Victoria, good indications now in New South Wales, but we still might end up with high numbers for a while yet. So we just have to be trying to manage that, and they're doing a lot in the hospital system, but this is an exhausted workforce, so it's really, really difficult.
Catherine, over the last couple of years, we've had breathless media giving us hysterical reports, and could I say thank you for your balanced reporting? You seem to be cool, calm and collected and consistent. What trends do you see in the short term from schools, from people returning to work, and perhaps over the next 6 months or so and into the long term?
Yeah, this is really critical, isn't it? It's getting the messaging right so that people are motivated to keep this under control rather than being motivated by fear all the time. And I think that was quite strong in the messaging, including from our leaders, earlier in the pandemic, trying to get people to understand the importance of lockdown. But it did mean there was a lot of fear talk about the virus. And I think that's one of the really important things as we move ahead, as we are looking at the situation where the virus is now in the community and will stay here. But you need to continue down that path where it's all about control and managing the situation. And having, we talk a lot about living with the virus, but, you know, I've been saying it's actually about being able to live with the measures we need to control the virus, because that's what impacts our day-to-day, and trying to pare those back so they're as effective as they can be, but as minimal in terms of disrupting the basic things we need to survive, whether that's, you know, our social networks, our support, our schooling, and our work. So it's actually moving through this transition period to get the balance right, to actually figure out exactly where we need to be. Okay. And we need to monitor what the impacts of these openings are too, so that we're watching it very closely, we're evaluating it, and we learn exactly where that needle needs to sit on the sliding scale of, you know, control versus control of the virus versus, you know, the impact of those interventions on the community. So we're trying to minimise intervention but still keep the virus under control, and that's what we need to keep working on.
Catherine, I know a lot of people who are getting their younger children ready for the vaccination, the 5 to 11-year-olds. What advice can you give to parents or grandparents who are concerned about that?
Yeah, we've had good information coming out. We wanted to wait till we had better information on safety. The initial trials were quite small, but subsequent information, and now we, again, because we pushed it back a little bit in Australia, to make sure we had the safety information before approval, and then we also have the benefit of getting real-world data from other countries, we can see that it is well-tolerated in kids. We don't know yet what's happening with Omicron in terms of you might get a mild infection, and children are also showing signs of being infected, just as they did with Delta. Prior to that, they were a bit spared from infection. But we don't know what it means for some of these longer-term consequences. So there's, thankfully, very few very young children get really sick with Omicron. We have had some develop these more complicated complications from infection. So this multi-system inflammatory syndrome and so on, which can put kids in hospital. So it's rare, but it does happen. The risk of having a vaccination is and having any sort of reaction to that is very, very rare, more rare than a reaction to the infection itself. And so I think a lot of parents are weighing it up. And in the past, children were less likely to be infected than they are now. And we are seeing these even rare reactions to infection are happening, just like everything with Omicron. The sheer number of infections can make that more likely. So it is a way of protecting kids. And they tend to have a really good reaction to the vaccines in terms of building that immunity. And the data so far for the older group, the 11 to 15, shows they also have a more sustained immune response, which would be great if you don't then necessarily have to look at this same pattern of having boosters, which is something that's more, the older you get, the more likely it's needed. But for the young kids, actually, having a vaccination early in life might set them up better for a longer period. So that's what we're watching. The safety looks good. Mm-hmm. The risk is low in kids from infection, but it is still there. And if there's a higher risk of infection, then vaccination risks are lower than what they could expect in the community.
Catherine, we have more questions for you and some coming in on the phones as well. I wonder if you could stick around just for a little while so we can ask some more questions of you.
Sure.
Thank you so much. That's Professor Catherine Bennett. She'll be joining us for more questions after this.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness, and with us is epidemiologist Professor Catherine Bennett. Catherine, thanks for sticking around a little bit longer with us.
My pleasure, Joe.
Let's get some calls. Ida in Fairfield, you have a question.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Just a question about the booster shot. I'm due for mine at the end of January, but I can get it sooner. In fact, I can get it this morning. But is there any reason to be worried about that, or should I just go ahead? Because I think it's a bit of, you know, the anxiety and kicking in, and you wonder, should I, shouldn't I? What do you think?
Thanks, Ada. It was a really good question. There's always a little bit of a trade-off. A booster, we have the gap between the primary course and the booster because it just gives you a different level of immune response. The gap helps flip your immune system into something that's a bit more sustained, but we see a better immune response than even to Omicron than with the primary course. So we don't want to make it too short, and that's why they had the gap. Initially, it was approved from anywhere from 2 months out to 6 months, and we started with 6 months. But it's the balance with the risk of infection as well. So while infection rates are high in our community, that's why we've heard that the ATAGI has shortened that gap so that we can get the balance right. And it might have a marginal difference on long-term immunity, but if it stops you having an infection now, it reduces that risk. Then it's not a bad thing. So if you're within the frame where we're now at 4 months, then that's a good thing. And at the end of this month, which is only now a couple of weeks away, they're going to reduce it for younger adults to 3 months because that's the group where we're seeing most infection as well. So it'll be actually a combination of infection from Omicron, which many more people have had than any previous variant, plus the booster rolling out that will also help bring this current wave to a quicker, decline in places, which is what we really want to see.
Judy in Camden, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I would like to know why they're not testing us, whether we've got Omicron or Delta. I just got a positive back, but it doesn't tell me which variant I've got. And they say they don't know whenever you ask anybody. And I'm still breathless. This is just a side effect. So to me it's a serious situation, and especially for statistics, why they're not telling us.
Is it important to know?
We've had.
Is it important to know, Catherine, what variant we've had?
Thanks, Judy, for the question, and sorry to hear that you're suffering from this, it's still unpleasant infection, even when it's described as mild. I think the lived experience is not good for a lot of people. They are interested in the variants that are circulating. With a PCR test, they look for what we call this S gene dropout, and certain PCR platforms can pick it up, not all of them, but some can. So they are able to monitor how much Delta versus Omicron's in the community, but it doesn't necessarily mean everyone's test result will come back, telling them what they have, because it won't be known on every single test. And they are also continuing to do genomic sequencing, but again, their numbers are so high, they won't be sequencing every single person's particular sample. It'll be a selection, or there'll be a delay anyway before they have the results. For people who are at risk of serious illness, it is important because those special medications they can give can vary. Some work for Omicron, some work for Delta, but not so well for Omicron. But if they don't know what people have and they do need further treatment, they'll treat them as if they have Omicron, and that will work for both. So it matters to monitor it at a population level, but when the case numbers are that high, they won't necessarily know it for every case, but they will do what we call surveillance and be looking across samples out of the large number of daily infections and working out from there what's happening with the proportion. We're hoping to see less Delta because that can cause that higher rate of hospitalisations, particularly in the unvaccinated, so they're watching it very closely.
Catherine, on the basis of the calls that we're getting, are GPs being kept up to date with all of the information that they need to reassure their own patients?
Yeah, there's a big effort put into getting information out. I know I too have seen, in the media that some are saying, well, we don't know until the public knows sometimes what's happening. But often that is, where in a media conference people are saying, well, what do people do if they have a positive test? And then it's saying, well, you should be talking to your GP, but then the GPs, feel like they're unprepared for that. So it is the challenge. We saw such a rapid rise in cases. all of this only started at the end of November. We didn't even know Omicron existed, let alone how quickly it might rise. And I think, you know, everybody is rightly saying we should have planned for this. But the reality is we've been in this constant state of response, which makes it less likely that people are going to have the resources to put into the planning going ahead. But we need to do that. And absolutely, our GPs are such a key part of this response. It helps keep people out of hospitals if they know they can ring their GP. And they've also continued now and made it permanent, this telehealth. And that's really important because it helps GPs see a lot more patients, to not be exposed to patients who are coming back with positive tests, but giving patients the advice, the reassurance they need to manage their own illness at home and you know, their household. So I think it's really important, that the GP role. And I'm sure everybody, no matter how much information is put out there, is feeling stretched. So I'm sure there's opportunities they might have done more, and they certainly, you know, there could have been more planning in the latter parts of last year. But at the same time, at that point, we were planning to open up, and that's where the emphasis was. So this really has been a curveball for everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Catherine Bennett, for answering some of our questions there. They do continue, but we need to take a break, and we're really grateful to you for joining us on the show, Catherine.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll get to more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What's clean, vegan and packed full of skin-loving ingredients? It's new Rimmel London Kind and free moisturising skin tint. It's free from nasties, formulated with aloe vera and antioxidant complex of vitamin E and B5, delivering 24-hour hydration. The lightweight formula evens skin tone and blurs imperfections and is suitable for sensitive skin. It's clean beauty that works, no compromises. Rimmel London Kind and free moisturising skin tint is $9.97 at Chemist Warehouse. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go healthy. CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. It's time for A to Z of vitamins. And today we're talking Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram. We love Ubiquinol here, Gerald.
Sure, we do. And this is the ready-to-use form of coenzyme Q10, which is the energy-generating nutrient, which we can't really get from food groups. And we've already talked about making 2022 the year of movement. Mm. Here's a way of helping your body become more energetic, produce more energy, particularly if you take cholesterol-lowering medications that can deplete you of energy. So, look, it's not a magic pill, but it does go a long way to helping energy levels.
And the A to Z of Vitamins is brought to you by Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram, a convenient, easy-to-absorb formulation to help support heart health. Let's get to one last quick call. Hi there, Gwen in Vaucluse.
Morning, Gwen.
Hello, how are you?
Sorry to hold you up. How can we help, Gwen?
I've got sciatica in the hip,
yes.
And I've got bowel trouble with it, and I've also got celiac. But no one seems to be able to help me. I just can't live like this.
There's nothing worse, Gwen, because it's a very hard-working joint. So the things to consider that are going to be just very gentle but are going to make a difference to pain is turmeric, which you take with food a couple of times a day, and magnesium to take the tension out of the joint. So it's going to help your quality sleep. And, Gwen, if you're on email, please let me know through the Ask tab on the House of Wellness website. Let me know in a couple of weeks whether there's been any improvements, and we can monitor things from there.
And Gwen, when it comes to food, the great news is celiac foods are a lot more available these days. What's great is that we've got a whole bunch of recipes on our website, thehouseofwellness.com.au, and you can check out the Eat tab, and there are fantastic, completely 100% gluten-free recipes that you can feast your eyes on and get cooking, because that confidence back in the kitchen, you'll never look back once you learn how to cook with these delicious ingredients.
Thank you so much for your call there, Gwen, and all the best. Thank you to all of our callers this morning. Houseofwellness.com.au to the Ask tab if you have a question. I know that Gerald diligently answers those questions. And we'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
CoQ10 is produced in the body to support heart health, but it declines as we age. Try Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol from Chemist Warehouse. It boosts your body's supply of CoQ10 to help support cardiovascular health, immune function and energy levels. Plus, it's readily absorbed by your body. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligrams is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Go Healthy CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligram is only $39.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Well, it's been lovely to spend the last hour with you, Gerald and Hindsey.
Thank you,
there's a lift out that we need to
do today. Today's papers with Abby Holmes on the front, and of course the summer magazine, the House of Wellness summer magazine. Great reading with Kylie.
Lovely Kylie. She's the picture of health.
Turn it around.
Yeah. Yes. Gerald, what are you off to do today?
Golfing today, Joe. Visit
Lovely.
Mum first, then golf.
And for you, Hansie?
I'm going to make a to-do list. I'm a little slow on the new year to-do list, so I'm going to do it today because if you're feeling like you haven't set your intentions, it's not too late.
Oh, no, it's never too late. No,
never too late.
I do it daily.
Do you?
Yeah. And then I throw it out and I try again tomorrow. I'm very much I gave it a good shot
you
and
did.
I'll start again tomorrow.
Good.
That's my thing.
Keep
so
love it.
Thank you as always to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. Check out houseofwellness.com.au and we will see you all next week.